Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This is the true story of an ambitious young woman from Mexico.
This queen bee who controls everything.
Her devoted girlfriend.
She just exuded sexuality.
And the other woman who would turn their world upside down.
Her body was bruised up. Her legs had been separated with great force. Somebody was getting even.
Three lovers with uncontrollable desires that will drive them to a tragic end.
I don't think they had a clue what was coming.
Worst nightmare that any female could wake up to.
Beware. Extreme passion can lead to shocking consequences. It's 2000, the start of the new millennium in Las Vegas, Nevada, a city known for its decadence, indulgence, and wild side.
Las Vegas has a 24-hour lifestyle. And people come there to live large, cut loose, and do things, frankly, that they'd never dream of doing at home.
But a few miles off the strip, there's a side of Vegas the tourists never get to see. A working-class suburb full of people hoping to make it big in Sin City.
You've got people who come here, and it's not always quite what they think it is.
29-year-old Marcella Whaley has been living here for the past 6 months.
Marcella Whaley was an absolutely stunning, beautiful woman. She was highly educated. She came from a very affluent family. In fact, one of her brothers is a high-ranking member of the Mexican government. She was fluent in English and in Spanish. She trained as a news reporter, and she certainly had the looks to easily get jobs in that field.
Marcella and her 22-year-old girlfriend, Kimberlyn, moved to the U.S. from Mexico in search of opportunity and excitement.
Kimberlyn was petite. She had long hair, and she was very pretty.
What Kimberlyn lacked in education, she certainly had in looks. Incredibly fit, extremely attractive.
The couple has been together for nearly 6 years.
The relationship began in Durango, Mexico. Kimberlyn was only 17 at the time. Marcella was much older. Marcella was much more domineering. I think she had a stronger personality than Kimberlyn.
Kimberlyn just basically latched on to Marcella.
But the reality of life in Vegas is far from glamorous. Finding work proves to be a challenge. So Marcella and Kimberlyn take what they can get.
Kimberlyn and Marcella started working at a local company called Power Logistics, which is a distribution center here in Las Vegas, Nevada.
They rent a modest home and work long hours.
Marcella runs a forklift, and Kimberlyn is working in shipping and packing. It is not the glamorous world they envisioned.
It was definitely a step down from what they were used to in Mexico.
But they're making the best of their situation. And although their work by day may be dreary and mundane, by night, their world revolves around one of the most exciting party scenes on the planet.
They'd found a place where they could fit in, be themselves. The United States is known to be a little more gay-friendly.
Part of their inner circle included other immigrants from Mexico, spoke their language, understood their lifestyle.
They liked to have their circle of friends and particularly be the center of attention.
But since moving to Vegas, Kimberlyn has noticed Marcella craving more attention than usual from other women.
Marcella was a player. I think she had a wandering eye, and that created tension.
She noticed that Marcella looked at other girls and would be flirtatious, and it made Kimberlyn insecure.
Marcella assures her it's harmless fun. Kimberlyn doesn't see it that way. To her, Marcella's flirting poses a frightening threat.
For Kimberlyn, she's been with Marcella since she's 17. She moved to the United States with her. She simply knows no other way of life.
And then, one night in February of 2000, Marcella and Kimberlyn meet a charming young woman who turns both their heads. Her name is Satsi Sanchez, a 27-year-old college student studying hospitality at the University of Nevada.
Satsi had dark, long hair, and she was very striking. A beautiful young woman.
Very nice to meet you.
Like Kimberlyn and Marcella, Satsi emigrated from Mexico with big dreams for her new life in America. Marcella is intrigued by her and finds they have a lot in common.
Satsi was a very well-educated young lady. She came from a very affluent family. She was aspiring to perhaps someday own her own resort or her own hotel. She definitely had ambition in life.
Kimberlyn can tell Marcella is paying special attention to the beautiful college student. At first, she's upset, but then she realizes, with a wave of relief, that Marcella is wasting her time.
Satsi is very receptive to all of this attention, but there's just one big problem. Satsi is straight.
Satsi was a heterosexual. In fact, she had just recently broken up with an ex-boyfriend.
In spite of Satsi's sexual orientation, by the end of the night, Marcella is smitten and knows she wants to see Satsi again. And unbeknownst to Kimberlyn, Marcella sneaks in one last conversation with Satsi, alone, to get her number. Satsi feels a connection to Marcella, too. Another smart and ambitious woman far from home.
She was happy to meet someone else from Mexico who had kind of a similar background to hers, and I think that, you know, she wanted to be friends.
For the next few days, Marcella can't stop thinking about Satsi. And then, without telling her girlfriend Kimberlyn, she acts on her desires.
Marcella called Satsi, and they started to get to know each other on the phone.
Marcella finds herself powerfully drawn to the bright, ambitious Satsi. She's everything Kimberlyn is not.
I want to see you again.
Satsi was an educated young lady who probably could carry on a conversation that maybe Kimberlyn was not offering to Marcella.
Determined to win her over, Marcella wants to do more than talk. One night in the spring of 2000, Satsi is working her evening job when she gets an unexpected visitor.
Marcella stops by the nightclub where Satsi works and is pursuing her actively.
Working hard.
Marcella convinces Satsi to have a few drinks. Before she knows it, the minutes have turned into hours. Late that night, they broach the intimate topic of past relationships. Marcella starts with a blatant lie, saying she and Kimberlyn used to date, but are now just roommates.
Marcella had lied to her from the outset, telling her that she wasn't involved with Kimberlyn anymore.
Intrigued, Satsi wants to hear more about what it's like to be gay.
Satsi was heterosexual, but she was curious about the lifestyle.
Then, when Satsi starts talking about her most recent relationship, Marcella suddenly sees the opening she's been waiting for.
So yeah, it's been hard lately, but...
Marcella is fully aware that Satsi is vulnerable following the breakup with her last boyfriend.
Marcella took that as an opportunity to try to really pour on the charm.
At last call, unable to resist any further, Marcella leans over and kisses Satsi. And to Satsi's surprise, she doesn't pull back.
Once Marcella actually moves into physical contact with Satsi, and Satsi doesn't resist, Marcella knows that she has crossed over and that Satsi is hers.
What happens next stuns Satsi. She finds herself in bed with Marcella.
For Satsi, being with Marcella is not just liberating and exciting. It's a bit transgressive.
For Marcella, it's the ultimate conquest. She's just managed to flip a heterosexual woman.
She really gets this incredible feeling now that there's no one who can turn her down. Anything Marcella wants, Marcella can get.
In her quest to win Satsi over, Marcella has just crossed a dangerous line, betraying Kimberlyn, her faithful girlfriend of 6 years. But this love triangle is about to shift and send all three women on the fast track to the dark side. In the spring of 2000, the illicit sexual affair between Marcella and Satsi is heating up under the Las Vegas sun. In just a few short weeks, Satsi, who was formerly straight, is experiencing a rush of pleasure being with another woman.
Satsi was almost an apprentice. She was enjoying the initiation into having a relationship with a lesbian.
But Marcella hasn't been completely honest with her new lover or her live-in girlfriend. Satsi has no idea that Marcella's roommate, Kimberlyn, is also her partner of 6 years. And Kimberlyn has no idea Marcella is cheating on her.
I think Marcella was trying to have her cake and eat it too.
Then one night, Satsi and Marcella decide to take their love affair to the next level. They make plans to have Marcella move into Satsi's house.
It was a four-bedroom house, had a kitchen, had a nice living room, had a two-car garage.
What do you think about moving in here?
It's an offer Marcella can't refuse.
That'll be awesome.
Marcella was kind of living like a nomad here in the United States. Now suddenly she meets Satsi, who has a home here, a beautiful home.
The decision comes with dire consequences. Marcella now has no choice but to reveal her betrayal to Kimberlyn. But before she can figure out how to break the news, Marcella is taken by surprise.
Hello?
One day at Power Logistics, Kimberlyn caught Marcella talking on the phone with another lady. And when she heard the conversation, she immediately knew.
You're making me blush. What are you doing?
It was pretty explicit.
She confronted her and asked her,
I have to call you back.
What's going on?
Marcella finally came clean and admitted to Kimberlyn that she was carrying on an affair with another woman.
It's something, you know, that just came over me.
And that woman was Satsi.
I couldn't help myself.
Something so you cheated.
Kimberlyn is devastated. She can't believe Marcella would deceive her and the friend she thought was straight.
I really, really like her.
Kimberlyn was heartbroken, extremely upset, distraught.
I can't even believe that you would do that.
They have an impassioned, angry confrontation right there at work, and Kimberlyn realizes that she is not going to take it anymore.
Kimberlyn tells Marcella she's done. One of them is going to have to move out. That's when Marcella drops another bombshell.
And Marcella said, well, actually, I'm leaving. I'm moving in with Satsi.
You are what? If you want to leave me, I'm going to move in with her.
Kimberlyn's worst fears are being realized.
Kimberlyn's world has been ripped out from under her, and she has no idea what she's going to do next.
You're planning on moving in with her?
Here she is, living in a country that she really didn't have many friends and family in. And so her whole life at that moment started crashing down on her.
But then, faced with the prospect of losing Kimberlyn for good, Marcella makes a shocking proposal.
Marcella told Kimberlyn that she was going to move in with Sotsi and she wanted her to come with her.
Marcella wants to keep both women in her life.
Marcella has grown accustomed to being able to have her girlfriend Kimberlyn and her love affair with Sotsi. This is something she doesn't want to give up.
She convinced Kimberlyn that she couldn't afford that apartment by herself, and so Kimberlyn agreed.
For Kimberlyn, it's simply a resignation. She hasn't made any decisions on her own for ages, and she's not about to make one now.
Meanwhile, Marcella pleads with Sotsi, telling her that Kimberlyn has nowhere else to go.
Initially, Sotsi wasn't too comfortable with this.
But knowing how difficult life in a new country can be, she eventually gives in.
Marcella always seemed to get what she wanted.
That summer, she welcomes them both to move in with her and her gay roommate, Carlos René.
Carlos was actually educated and an attorney down in Mexico. Very nice guy, very loyal, and very protective of Sotsi.
Marcella moved into the bedroom that Sotsi had. Kimberlyn moved down the hall in a spare bedroom.
For the next few weeks, the thought of Marcella and Sotsi having sex just down the hall is too much for Kimberlyn to bear.
She has put herself in a situation where she is being peaceful, but under that facade, she's really becoming resentful. Kimberlyn knows in this new living situation, she's not going to be able to last for long.
Something has got to give. But it doesn't take long for the relationship between Sotsi and Marcella to shift from passionate to something dark.
Sotsi, at first, she seemed like she was having a good time with Marcella. But soon after, she told me that Marcella kept on calling her and calling her, like, at work. And the calls were, like, constant.
Sotsi was a young and independent woman. She really didn't need somebody to check in on her and constantly demand to explain where she was and what she was doing.
Out was coming this controlling side of Marcella, and it took Sotsi by surprise.
Sotsi has no clue how to handle this Jekyll and Hyde lover. So she turns to the only person who completely understands her situation, Marcella's ex, Kimberlyn.
I don't know what to do.
She knew that right at her footsteps was somebody that she could confide in who had been in the same boat. And that was at that point when Sotsi started confiding in Kimberlyn.
Outwardly, Kimberlyn is gentle and sympathetic. But on the inside, she's still seething with pain at Marcella's betrayal. And now she's being presented with a perfect opportunity to exact revenge.
Can I trust you?
Yeah.
And it was then that suddenly these heart-to-heart moment conversations that Sotsi and Kimberlyn were having together, suddenly a spark started flying between the two of them.
I've always liked you.
Sotsi told me that when they met at that party originally, she liked Kim, and there was some kind of chemistry between them.
In her fragile state, Sotsi is only too willing to accept Kimberlyn's advances.
I think both of them realized that they were both more strongly attracted to each other than either one of them was towards Marcella.
By starting a relationship with Sotsi, Kimberlyn isn't just liberating herself, she is giving Marcella a comeuppance, basically a send-off. Everything is not going to be your way anymore.
The dynamics of power are shifting, and Kimberlyn will soon turn on her girlfriend of 6 years, unleashing a torrent of emotion that will end in death.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile.
Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
It's late 2000 in Las Vegas, Nevada. For the past several months, three lesbian lovers and roommates, Kimberlyn, Marcella, and Satsi, have been involved in a complicated love triangle behind each other's backs.
It was playing musical beds. One girl moves in with one, and she ditches her other one and lets her move in.
Kimberlyn and Satsi have just started a secret affair, while Satsi is still sharing a bed with Marcella.
This is a relationship that was doomed from the beginning. How do you keep it quiet when they all three are living under the same roof?
The tension in the house is building by the hour. So Kimberlyn and Satsi decide to break the news and come clean to Marcella.
Girls, I need to talk to you about something.
I remember that Kim was scared. Kim was pretty scared. But Satsi told Kim, just let me handle this.
Satsi isn't intimidated by Marcella, and Kimberlyn follows her lead.
I think having Satsi in her corner definitely gave Kimberlyn the kind of strength she needed to stand up to Marcella.
They knew that Marcella would get upset, but I don't think they had a clue what was coming.
What? You guys are serious?
Marcella exploded in anger. She became furious.
I can't believe you distrusted me like that.
She didn't take it well.
Enraged, Marcella moves her things out of Satsi's bedroom as Kimberlyn moves in.
Marcella became extremely depressed. Just a couple of feet down the hall from her bedroom, Kimberlyn was now living with a girl that Marcella had flipped.
For Kimberlyn, asserting her independence from Marcella is the ultimate revenge.
I think Kimberlyn had enough.
Sexually confident Marcella is stunned to find herself the odd woman out in this toxic love triangle. Powerless to change her situation, she locks herself in her room.
The idea of having basically two girlfriends and in the space of an instant having none is simply a situation she can't deal with.
When she finally emerges, Marcella tells Kimberlyn they need to talk.
Suddenly, Marcella pulled out a knife, and she started threatening to kill herself. But Kimberlyn started screaming at Marcella, begging her, don't do this to yourself, don't do this to yourself. Finally, Marcella gave up, started crying, and asked for forgiveness from Kimberlyn.
It's a turning point for the exes.
Marcella's breakdown was really a watershed event that was a huge release of emotions.
Kimberlyn encouraged Marcella to get help. And so she had one session with a psychologist.
Within days, Marcella's bleak mood appears to be lifting.
Marcella's behavior changed. She seemed to back off. The cries for attention stopped.
In fact, she got out of her bedroom more. She started becoming a little bit more conversant.
You guys want to do something tonight?
The manipulation stopped. She really kind of seemed to accept the situation and try really to be moving on.
A fragile peace has been restored in the house. In mid-January, the roommates throw a party, inviting several mutual friends. Late that evening, Marcella makes her grand entrance. And she's not alone.
Marcella finally showed up with a new friend that she met at a local bar named Selena.
The change was drastic, because the day before she had been depressed, and then she was kind of quiet, and then out of nowhere she was all happy.
It's really a power play. Marcella is letting everyone at the party know she is back in control, she is the seductress she always was.
The revelry continues into all hours of the night, but the roommates are about to find out that this party is over. For good. The next morning, a desperate call comes in.
On January 15th at 9:30 in the morning, the Las Vegas Police Department got a frantic 911 call from a disturbed man who said that his roommate had just been murdered.
Police rush to the address. It's Tsatsi's house. They're met by her roommate Carlos and his friend Tony.
Carlos Renee, who was bloodied, his shirt was off.
The men are too distraught to explain what happened. Instead, they lead the officers to the master bedroom.
They discover the body of a young woman, partially nude, laying on her bed.
She was hogtied with an electrical cord.
It's Tsatsi Sanchez. And she's been brutally murdered. The officers question Carlos and Tony about what happened. They explain that the night before, the roommates had a party, and then Carlos and Tony went to a club.
We came back pretty late. It was already, like, morning.
Tony says he and Carlos fell asleep around the time Kimberlyn and Marcella left for work. But soon after, the men were suddenly jolted out of bed.
I wake up because I hear this huge, like, bottle being crushed over someone's head. And Carlos made this scary noise. And I was like, what's going on? What's going on? And then I see this guy pointing at me with a gun.
Carlos says he suffered a nasty wound, but was still conscious as the intruders restrained both men.
And they brought these cables. And then that's how they tied us up, really tight.
The two men left the room and went into Tsatsi's room, and he could hear everything because her bedroom was right next to his.
It was Tsatsi. She was in trouble.
Unable to free themselves, Carlos and Tony were forced to listen as Tsatsi endured a brutal attack.
You heard beating going on. She kept on hearing Tsatsi scream for help and, please don't do this to me. They couldn't do anything.
I remember thinking, what have I gotten myself into? And I was just singing in my head. Just thinking, I just want this to end. I believe that that's why they were killing Tsatsi.
This continued for quite some time until finally he heard the engine of Satsi's car. And it was at that point that they would try to undo themselves.
As soon as they were able to get free, they called 911. To the responding officers, their story appears credible.
The evidence at the scene corroborated what they had told us.
For now, they're not considered suspects. Investigators start processing the evidence.
There were strangulation marks around her neck.
The house has been ransacked.
They found a lot of things that were missing. Their computer was gone. Cameras were gone. A lot of items that were of value, that are easy items to sell out on the street seem to have been taken from the residence.
It appears to be a burglary gone wrong.
We realized that the perpetrators had also taken a white SUV that belonged to Sadzi.
But a chilling clue left by the killers suggests a darker motive.
On the top of Sadzi's body, clearly thrown and very visible to everybody that discovered the body, was a canceled movie ticket stub for the movie that was very popular at the time, What Women Want. And I think that was very telling. Whoever did this to Sadzi was trying to say that this is what really this lesbian wanted, was to have a man sexually assault her. It kind of gave an indication that this was targeted and this was, there was meaning behind this. Somebody was getting even.
Was Sadzi the unfortunate victim of a vicious hate crime? Or was someone seeking to punish her for her crimes of the heart? Homicide detectives are investigating the murder of 27-year-old Sadzi Sanchez in a quiet suburb 20 minutes from the Las Vegas Strip. At first glance, it appears to be a burglary gone wrong, until detectives find a telling clue that this may have been a savage hate crime. As they sift through the crime scene, Sadzi's roommates and once lovers, Marcella and Kimberlyn, arrive home from work.
Police were all over the place, walked up and identified themselves, and they were told by police that Sadzi was dead.
When they learned what happened to Sadzi, they both appeared very upset.
Kimberlyn started crying. Marcella started yelling, "Why? Why?"
Kimberlyn and Marcella tell the investigators they went to work together that morning, leaving Sadzi and their other roommates still asleep. They have no idea who would want to kill her. When the detectives question Kimberlyn alone, they quickly learn about the volatile love triangle going on under the same roof.
Eventually, Kimberlyn told me about the relationship between her and Marcella, and then the relationship eventually between her and Sadzi, and how Marcella was out of the picture and kind of cast aside.
Anytime you have a homicide, you're always looking at that love triangle to find your prime suspect.
But this was an affair involving three women, while the attackers were men.
Marcella and Kimberlyn each had an alibi. They were at work, and their boss could attest to that.
Neither of them in the interviews gave any information that made us think that either one of them really could have been involved.
The next day, the autopsy results are in. They reveal the full extent of the attack Sadzi suffered.
Her body was bruised up. Her legs had been separated with great force to leave fingerprint marks on the inside of her thighs. It was clear that she was assaulted sexually, both vaginally and anally.
But it was a brutal, brutal killing. It was sort of senseless. Burglary gone bad doesn't usually end with, you know, a person being sodomized before they're killed.
Police hunt down the intruders with no success. But then, a tip comes in.
An anonymous caller stated that the car that belonged to Sadzi was parked on a street named Arcata that was up there in North Las Vegas.
But before the car is even searched, the detectives discover that it's been left in a very suspicious location.
They realized that that car was parked just a block away from Power Logistics, and that was the location where Marcella and Kimberlyn both worked.
It was kind of an aha moment.
And that's not all. The tipster says he knows who killed Sadzi.
He said he worked at Power Logistics, and a co-worker of his had come to him and bragged about committing the crime. The caller told us that the person he'd talked to, the co-worker, was named Luis Barroso.
Now, armed with evidence and a name, the police can move forward. The detectives obtain search warrants for Barroso's home, where they find some of Tsatsi's stolen property. Luis Barroso is immediately arrested and confronted with the damning evidence.
During the interrogation, when we presented the information to Luis, he gave in pretty quickly. He confessed to doing the crime and the details of it.
They discovered that a second person was involved, and that was Luis's best friend, Obed Marroquin.
Luis admits that he and Obed broke into Tsatsi's apartment to rob her. But police want to know why they didn't stop there. Why was Tsatsi attacked in such a brutal way?
And then the police kept on pressuring him, well, why would you do this? You know, what is your connection to Tsatsi? And it wasn't until after he was being pressed by the homicide detectives that he finally came forward and said, okay, I got hired to do this job.
Luis says someone close to Tsatsi hired him to kill her. Someone out for revenge. The investigators are about to learn the sordid truth behind Tsatsi's gruesome murder. Luis Barroso has just confessed that on January 15th, 2001, he and another man, Obed Marroquin, raped and murdered 27-year-old Tsatsi Sanchez. And that's not all. Someone had hired him to do it. Someone heartbroken and betrayed, who was hell-bent on getting even in the cruelest way possible. Under pressure from detectives, Barroso reveals the name of the mastermind behind the murder, a woman he saw every day at work.
Luis told police that that coworker who hired him to kill Tsatsi was in fact Marcella Whaley.
According to Luis, Marcella, Tsatsi's roommate and ex-lover, planned the whole thing.
The affair between Tsatsi and Kimberlyn shattered Marcella's ego. And when she saw she couldn't fix it or couldn't win, she went into a rage.
Weeks before the murder, he tells police that Marcella came to him at work with a proposition.
She had promised him $3,000 plus whatever he could take out of the house and get money for and sell to kill Tsatsi. And in return, Marcella would have sex with him and he would be the first man she ever had sex with.
Marcella knew exactly what buttons to push because Luis Barroso was kind of a loner.
He not only goes along with it, but he gets a co-worker to do it with him.
Both men had a criminal history.
Obed was kind of an associate of street gangs. Barroso sold it to him saying, hey, we could really get some street cred with this. And I think that appealed to Obed. After talking with the two suspects, obviously the next person we want to talk to was Marcella.
But when investigators go looking for Marcella, they're in for another surprise. Kimberlyn informs the detective that Marcella has left. 3 days after the murder, she took off.
They go out to arrest her, all of her belongings gone, and she's gone.
She had cleaned out a bank account. We learned that she had crossed the border in El Paso, Texas, and had gone into Mexico.
Kimberlyn is devastated by Tsatsi's death and Marcella's sudden disappearance.
The fact that she would suddenly take off and not say a word to any of her friends, clean out a bank account, and hightailed it across the border screams volumes as to her guilt.
Kimberlyn's reality has been turned on its heel. To find out that the woman that she loved and had just recently left had killed her new girlfriend?
Kimberlyn is still in disbelief that Marcella could commit such a horrific crime. And although she had no hand in Tsatsi's murder, Kimberlyn's rejection and the thought of her with Tsatsi set Marcella on the path to revenge.
Marcella decided to have Tsatsi killed for many reasons, but mostly it was revenge, Her property, her belonging, was Kimberlyn, and she wanted Kimberlyn back.
Dotsie had dared to dump Marcella and take Kimberlyn away from her at the same time. And Marcella made sure she paid for it with her life. The investigators now have a complete picture of what happened to Dotsie.
On the morning of January 15th, 2001, Marcella had the stage all set. She knew that that was going to be Sassy's last night.
Early that morning, Kimberlyn and Marcella left for work. And only Marcella knew the horror that was about to unfold in just a few short hours. Around 9 a.m., Luis and Obed arrived at the house. After restraining Carlos and Tony, they found Zazi asleep in her bed.
And unfortunately, she woke up to the most violent, worst nightmare that any female could wake up to. Her underwear were ripped off. And it was at that point, Luis and or Obed sexually assaulted Zazi. They raped her. They manually strangled her so hard, Zazi, while she's being raped, died a slow, agonizing death. Once they were done, and they threw Satsi's body down onto the bed, they found a ticket stub for What Women Want, and they placed it on a body and left that calling card.
It was an agonizing end to a life full of promise, just as Marcella had ordered.
It was kind of like, if I can't have her, you can't have her either.
The investigators focused their efforts on bringing Marcella, Luis, and Obed to justice. But Marcella's escape to Mexico presents a problem.
We were able to get an arrest warrant against Marcella, charging her with murder for hire. But Mexico refused to extradite her even after they took her into custody.
Mexico will not send their citizens back to America if they believe that the death penalty can be applied.
It looks like this black widow will get away with murder. Meanwhile, in the winter of 2004, the prosecution prepares its case against Luis and Obed.
In February of 2004, we were preparing to go to trial for Luis Barroso. And before the trial, he was offered and he accepted a plea deal. In exchange for taking the death penalty off the table, he agreed to plead guilty to life in prison. Obed was later convicted of murder, kidnap, and robbery with a deadly weapon.
But attempts to extradite Marcella are unsuccessful until August 2005, when, in a stunning turn of events, U.S. and Mexican officials make a deal.
The Mexican government agreed to try her in a Mexican court using our information and evidence. Eventually, she was convicted.
In November 2005, Marcella is sentenced.
She received a sentence of 39 years in a Mexican prison. Most homicides involve behavior that in some way contributes to the victim's death. But in this case, Satsi's behavior and lifestyle didn't.
I truly believe that Satsi was a good person. She didn't deserve to die.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.